someone killed Miss Doreen, I need to give her a virtual hug.
Where is she?
She was in here, but she went on that way somewhere. It's almost 10 o'clock.
It is.
Isn't that sad?
I know. I do the same thing.
And every time
I'm not going back there.
Let's do the steps. Let's go up and down the bleachers.
I'm not going down there.
Yeah,
the bleachers are really bad.
Bleachers at football practice.
Oh, my gosh. I've been up in new bleachers for years.
I can't run over
there. My football coach made us do that until we get sick, and now then he make us do it more.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Just do it again.
Oh, gosh. It just hurts my knees.
Yeah, it's sad.
Like you said, I need to build muscle up because I tried.
Well, see what happens. The muscle around here you need to build up. That's what my doctor, the orthopedic, said. You still need to exercise because then you build up the muscles which support the knee so that when you have knee replacement, it'll be better. So that's why they're trying to do a lot of this.
I do certain exercises.
You can do chairs or even while you're sitting.
That's what I do.
No, I can't keep it.
No, I can keep mine out, but it goes. You know what it does when I kick it out?
Says Vicky, not even way down, really. You just kind of.
She can go way out. I do like that. I mean, you squat. But then I kick out my knee and you hear pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, mine does.
But that's okay because it's a little exercise. And then my back, the arthritis is all in my.
That's why I give up working.
Yeah, I'm sure I have all that too.
So when I do the exercise, what happens? The knees start to feel a little better, but they still ache. But then my back acts up because the arthritis. But you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
Miss Doreen is so glad. This is so glad. I'm not going to hug you.
And you know what I always say?
I'm so glad to see you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the Mary Washington Hospital.
I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, and we have brothers and sisters here going through so much, and I can't complain about arthritis. Knees and all that. It is what it is. I might hug Lynn before she. But sometimes I don't get to hug her before I leave.
I'll speak to her.
Did you get that video I sent you?
You know what? I'm looking for. I couldn't find it.
What, your phone?
Yeah, I'm looking for.
You couldn't find your phone?
Did you? No, I went looking for the video. Did you send it on personally?
Yes, personally.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe that's why I find it. I looked on that website.
Okay.
But I don't think I've got very hard. I figured you would send it from me.
No, no, I sent it to you personally.
I need to go back and look so that it'll come out as well.
Show you what it looks like.
Yeah. No, I went one day and I looked for it and I said, well, I saw it and then all of a sudden I think I couldn't find it. I must have been looking at it. So, would it even be in my text message?
So
hallelujah.
See?
It would come under my name.
Oh, wait.
Because I couldn't find it.
Right, you didn't put it in there.
What?
Wait.
I was thinking one day I saw it, but I couldn't go back and find it.
Okay, get it. That's brain
health. Yeah.
I don't want that one. Have a brain.
If I only had a brain.
Well, it's in this. Well, you can go.
Do you think you said it?
Well, you can go.
I go to my message. Look for my name, your name.
Well, That's it. So you just got to go to the...
Is it in this?
Yes. Yeah, you just go this one.
It's just to me, though.
Yeah, it's just to you. And see, this is the one...
Yes, I think I saw that, but then I went back and tried to find it.
This guy.
It's the one above it. Will you send it to me? Go ahead, sir. Is your wife having a husband?
No. Stop messing around.
It's okay. I'm going to keep this here in case, but I mean, I'll still have to stand with God. My knees hurt from yesterday. I did so much work yesterday.
I'm sore from.
I'm sure you.
I am sore from tree stuff and
my back, my knees,
like really
my shoulders,
really
my arms, my everything.
It was very scary. No, it was just picking up my roof. And I was cleaning off sticks and stuff. And think, the good thing is,
I'm out because the tree don't like them, but they can be a nuisance.
I was afraid of destroying my roof. I had to put a new roof on.
Yeah, I went out. Mine actually destroyed the foundation. I didn't realize. something was like, well, I had tree roots growing on my face. And I looked under the carpet, and sure enough, I did knock a hole in the foundation and started growing through there. Yeah, that's not good. Hey, Julie, is your name Tracy today? Okay, see, I told you it was Tracy.
Hi, Julie.
Good morning, church. Are you guys ready to worship? Or are you just waiting on me? All right, you can stand if you like and worship, or you can sit there if it's too much for being on your feet. Either way, let's get into worship and get in the presence of God. Amen. You guys going to go someplace with me today? To the throne of grace?
Yes.
I believe there's one salvation,
one glory that leads to life,
one redemption,
one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
I believe in the crucifixion,
by his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, his life is destiny free.
All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be, in Jesus' mighty name I believe. I believe, I believe. I believe in the hope of heaven. He's preparing a place for me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe the day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning, see the lamb, he rose a roaring lion. All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be, in Jesus' mighty name I believe. be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd never walk away from the one who saved my life. No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never walk away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe.
All praise.
All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. Jesus' mighty name, I believe. I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you believe this morning?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
He's the King, amen.
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing grace. Hallelujah.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes us often a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I see. All that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, 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 yeah. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
It's amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. This is a fairy love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. You laid down your life.
Hallelujah.
That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He laid his life down for you and me. Oh, that I could be set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Jesus. You are so awesome. Thank you, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8-9, right? For by grace ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But let's not forget verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for what? Good works. Atta girl. Which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Seems like we forget that verse. It just goes right out of our minds. But we are created for his workmanship. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Oh, now my chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set. My God, my Savior's ransomed me.
Here it comes.
It's like a flood. His mercy rains. Unending love. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good
to me.
His word. My hope secures. He will my shield and pour
as long as life endures.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set
free. Oh, I'm free. Hallelujah.
My God, my Savior, yours ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who calls me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior's ransomed me. And it's like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Sing one more time.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free.
Are you free?
My God, my Savior's ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Unending love, amazing grace.
Hallelujah. It's unending. Amazing grace. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Forgiven this morning? Hallelujah.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
It's such amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. All I do to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me.
Amazing love,
I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
To honor you.
Why? Because you are my King. He's your King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all. I honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know that it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. Hallelujah, Lord. We honor you, Jesus, because your love is so amazing, and you are our King. Lord, we praise and worship you because you are our King. Hallelujah, your Lord and King, Father, and we worship you. Thank you, my Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
And we talked about some amazing things this morning. God's amazing grace and God's amazing love. And I just praise God that he saved a wretch like me. You know, we go through life a lot of times and we're always wondering which way to go, what we want to do. But, you know, if we trust in the Lord, he will direct us in the way that we should go at all times. You know, this week, Doreen and I, we go back and forth in our devotions between Ezekiel, and then we listen to a pastor out of New Mexico who's in Chronicles. And, you know, and I thank God for that because there is a scripture in Chronicles, which is where I'm going to go this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 for our meditation this morning, because I just think it's important that we hear. To me, out of individuals, this is probably, I mean, and this is my opinion, with it, the greatest prayer that somebody could pray for. And it just made me think, this is what I need to do each and every week. And but anyway, before I get to that, if it was written about us and how we lived our lives, what would be written and why? If an ordinary man wrote about us, it would probably be different than if the Holy Spirit wrote about our lives. Man usually sees the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. This morning, I'd like to share about one man, one king in Chronicles that was written about, and God said he did right in the eyes of the Lord. If we read a story, there would be so many applications we could take from it. But I want to focus on one, and hopefully it will strengthen our faith in Christ our Lord. Life throws so many obstacles in our way, and some seem insurmountable. Asa had one of these such moments. Let's see what it is and how he dealt with it. Because with how he dealt with it is, I believe, the way we should deal with it, with any insurmountable odds. First of all, I'm going to share with you why God says Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord God. And the thing is that we have to always keep pursuing, because I'm not going into all the other things that Asa did, because it's the most, because we always see that we always need to keep running the race, you know, because if we stop running the race, things can just go out of control. But we need to keep our focus on Christ. He was right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed foreign altars in high places, tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. God blessed him. He took away all those things that would that we would be bothered by. All those things that would take us out of our focus of Christ. You know, all those idols. Well, one day, you know, God gave him rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now, Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, wielding bows and shields, and they were valiant warriors. Now Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1 million men. 1 million men against virtually 580,000. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephath at Mereshath. But you know, the thing is that he prepared himself. Just as we in Christ, we always should be preparing ourselves. We may not know God calls us to go do something, and we need to prepare ourselves. So when we prepare ourselves and we wait, you know, or call upon God for instruction, now what do? We got ourselves prepared. What are we going to do? So Asa went out in battle formation. Then Asa called to the Lord, his God, and said, and this is the prayer, Lord, there's no one beside you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. You know, he went out there knowing that the odds were insurmountable. And he knew that if he went on his own strength, that he was probably going to lose. So who do you call upon? The only one that can give us victory. And you're struggling this morning. You're going through life's trials and tribulations. And, you know, your finances aren't going well. And you don't know where to turn. Well, here, right here, Asa, he knew where to turn. And God answered. But see, the thing, reason why I read the beginning, but see, God knew his heart, because he wanted to honor God, so he took down all those things that would dishonor God in the king, because he was king, he could do that. Now, we need to take out all those things by the power of the Holy Spirit, all those things that keep us away from God. You know, so if we have issues in our life that we are struggling with, you know, and then we're asking God, oh Lord, I need your help, but yet we're not cleaning our own house up, because Asa cleaned up his house. He cleaned up the house of Israel, the house of Judah, I should say, because he was in the southern kingdom. He cleaned it all up. And then when he called upon the Lord had no, you know, second guessing. I'm not going to help him. He's not even serving me right. I'm going right in there, and I'm going to destroy that million man army because of his faithfulness of wanting to serve God and bring it, and we're having the nation of Judah again worship seek the Lord God of their fathers. He had them, hey, we're going to go back and seek God. Are you struggling this morning in seeking God? If you are, he's waiting. His mighty hand and outstretched arm is waiting for us to grab hold of him. He says, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is waiting this morning to take you to the promised land, to where he wants us to go. We are here not just to be here. We are here because God's got something for us to do. We may not know what to do because are we really asking God, God, what is it that you want me to do? Not what you want that person to do or that person to do, because it's a personal relationship, so it has to begin with me. So what does he want me to do? And if it's just sitting in my lazy chair all day long after I get off work and that's it, do you think he wants me to do that? You know, I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, I'm so tired. I'll wait till Sunday, or, you know, maybe, you know, I might get up and go help somebody in the neighborhood. And it's like, what? No, I'm good. Lord, me and you are just nice and tight. You know, but see, Asa, he lined up his men. But before he went into battle, he sought the Lord. You know, so we don't sit there and wait for him. He wants us to be active. You know, he wants us to be active, and he will show us what to do. Because what does he say? He goes, don't worry about what words to say, but the Holy Spirit will give you at the time what to say. You know, but we need to be prepared. Asa was prepared. We need to be prepared by being in his word. We need to be prepared by being in prayer. We need to be prepared by not forsaking the fellowship of the saints as we build up and encourage one another. And then if we are running astray, that because we know one another, we don't feel horrible about admonishing one another in love. Because say, hey, Craig, you know, you've been doing this because you know me. Now, if I'm not here all the time, you'd be like hesitant to go, well, I don't want to make him not come back. He hadn't been coming for weeks. And now all of a sudden he's come back and he's living, you know, he's doing this, and I'll just let him go. But being here, we feel more comfortable because we get to know one another and to be able to encourage one another both ways, and striving for the Lord and overcoming our sin and shame. You know, so I just want to encourage this one, because I just love, you know, when he says, who have no strength, that there is no one beside you to help in the battle between the powerful and those you have that have no strength. So he was talking about that. We don't have no strength, Lord. We have no strength whatsoever. Do you feel like that sometimes, that you have no strength? Well, the only one that's going to give us strength is Jesus. He is the only one. All he's doing is just waiting for us to call upon him. You know, we're struggling over and over and over again. Not that we're not going to struggle, because sometimes he does it to test to see if our love is true. Just like he did in the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where he says, you know, did your feet not wear out on you, your clothes not go, you know? I did this to test you to see if your love is true. You know, sometimes trials come our way to test us, to see if it is true. We're going to fall apart. We're going to stand firm. I mean, my wife's the first time she's been on Sunday for, you know, this year, I think, you know, because of her, what happened to her.
Early January.
On Sunday.
Yeah, early January.
Oh, 3rd January. Well, shows you how much I remember. But anyway, regardless of when, but she hadn't been here that often, and it's, but she was in a desperate situation, and yet God, she called out to God. She didn't go, oh, I'm going to die. She said, Lord, you're my strength and my song. You know, and then, you know, the blessing about that is that she's breathing better now before she had the issue, because they gave her some treatments that she didn't have before, and she would have not gotten those if she hadn't gotten ill. You know, and it was a test of my resolve too, you know, when that happened, because the first thing I did is calling the Lord, and I go, Lord, what do I do? You know, when they call me up at 3 a.m. saying, your wife's going to die. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And I didn't go, oh, Lord, why you? You know, it was just like, because I know my faith stands in the Lord. I know whatever he does is going to be for his glory. You know, so anyway, that's where we need to be in life. And not to say that that happens to me every time, but I just want to encourage you, call on the Lord like Asa did. I mean, he just laid it out, and God got the victory, and he gave God the victory. He didn't say, hey, look what I did. You know, but I encourage you to read the story of Asa, because it's just a really amazing story, and just shows that we just continually need to just call on him always. Yes.
Did you give the reference to where Asa is?
Yeah, I said chapter 14, verses 1 through 14.
Second Chronicles.
Second Chronicles, yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. But anyway, a scripture, Psalm 27, 1 through 3, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come up on me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fall." Who caused them to stumble and fall? God caused them to stumble and fall. So when all these things come our way, where do we need to go? To the Lord. He is our strong tower, and the righteous run in and find shelter. And then the last scripture is Asa in Psalm 73. I had it marked, but by the grace of God, 73, verse 25. Remember, Asa, if you remember this Psalm 73, Asa is going through, why is the wicked always winning? And why is it, you know, they always prospering and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And in Psalm 25, he says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Is God the strength of your heart and portion forever this morning? If he is not, call upon him. He is there. He is always there. He's just looking down on, "Craig, call upon me, please. I want to help you, but you're just trying to do it on your own, and it's not going to work. But I got you. I can carry you through this struggling time." That's what he's waiting. So if he's waiting on you this morning, I encourage you to call upon him. And with that, the mic is open for your prayers and praises.
Good morning. I just want to let you know that Sandy Morgenstern called me yesterday and was so excited about being here. Got up this morning and she wasn't feeling well, couldn't come. So let's just pray for her. She's continuing to recover and doing pretty well. And so she will probably be here next week, Lord willing. One of the things I'll add to what Craig said there is that Paul says we are physically wasting away. And that's what's going on in our bodies. But with Christ in us, we're, he says, being renewed day by day. And that's the wonderful news. Also, Janet had a very good night, but didn't get up till about 10 minutes before I needed to leave. So anyhow, she's home, but God's answering prayer there. But it is a struggle for her, too, because, you know, she's been dealing with this disability for over 30 years. And, you know, we pray for both God's healing and rest, and it doesn't always come the way we want it to. But again, that's because what God is doing in us is to accomplish his will in this earth. And if Jesus had to come down here, who is God, and he gave up all of his privileges and suffered the way he did, boy, where does that leave us? We are thankful that he's made a way for us to have fellowship with him, and we keep our focus on him. So I'm just going to offer a prayer up for Sandy. Father, I thank you so much that you love us the way you do, and that you have made it possible for us to be in your family. And Jesus, you are the one that came down here and lived in this fallen world and suffered beyond probably what we can even imagine, especially when you took all of our sins upon you and you were the holy God, as God could never tolerate a sin. And yet you did that for us. What an incredible thing. So we just come to worship you and to seek your help and know that what is happening here is accomplishing your eternal purposes. Committed to you, and it is not in vain. It's what we do by laying up treasures in heaven. So we thank you and praise you. I pray for your continued healing for Sandy and keep her encouraged today, and also for Janet. And I know there are others here two that struggle, and some probably aren't here today because of their struggle. So we just pray for them as well. And I want to thank you, too, for all those who are supporting this ministry who don't even live in this state. And what a blessing that is, too. So we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Thank God for me being here today, you know, getting me to church. I need to be surrounded by my church family during this time. It's been a rough recovery. You know, they ran out of the chemo that I need to have, and that's a worldwide shortage, I guess, because of these tariffs or whatever. And it comes from Canada. So just pray that, that I'll be able to endure the treatment that I get. I'm having some trouble with my Parkinson's medicine. It's beginning to wear out, so I'm going to need some medicine for that. So it's just been a rough time, but God has seen me through every day, and I ask for prayers, your prayers, to continue with that. And I ask if I can get an anointing by the elders in view that this comes in, medicine comes in, and our people to take the medicine. Anybody else that needs anointing and healing?
You want to pray?
Sure. Well, Tom, I just want to say we love you and we appreciate all the work that you've done, you know, with Chancellor Christian Church, and hopefully by the grace of God you can perform more duties to help build up and encourage our congregation. And we know that all these things that you're going through right now is you know, a testing of your faith, and you've just, to me, you're
persevering,
and yep. You know, you might have your moments, but your call, your strength is in Christ. And as we learned this morning, that God is the strength of our life and our portion forever. And with that, I'd like to anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for Tom, Lord. Lord,
yes.
We know, well, you know more than we do, Father, all the issues going on in his life, Father. He's been a strong believer, Father, a strong man, Father, in this church, Lord, for many
yes.
years, a strong
yes.
elder, Lord. And Father, he had to step down, Father, from the duties, Lord, that he had. But, Lord, he tries to still serve you in other ways. And Lord, we know that the devil's like a roaring lion seeking may devour. Lord, I believe you have more things for Tom to do, Lord, and we know the devil don't like that, Father. But we ask, Lord, that you would heal him, Father, of his cancer, that you would heal him of his Parkinson's, Lord, and of that stomach aneurysm that he has, Lord, that it would shrink to nothing, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We ask, oh Lord, in Jesus' name that you would
yes.
hear our cry, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is a precious brother that's been serving you with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yes.
And we ask, Lord, as you delivered Asa, Father, from that million-man army,
yeah.
that you would deliver Tom from all these trials and, Father, physical trials that he's going through right now that have prevented him from doing what he would desire to do for you. And we ask, Lord, that you would hear our cry in
yes.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You've been a
Amen, brother.
Blessing to me, brother.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Good to be back. Praise God. His mercy endures forever. I've been thinking about a psalm that the Lord says, well, it's in Lamentations, actually, about the Lord's mercies. Why we're not consumed, Jeremiah said, because of all the things that he'd heard and what God, the judgment that God was bringing upon the people and all the prophecies that he gave, and the people didn't listen. And Jeremiah was so discouraged, and he said, you know, he was really discouraged. But then he said, but this one thing I recall, that it's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So we thank God. We sang about amazing grace and amazing love. the mercies of God towards us. And even when we're saved, and the Lord says, we will have trouble in this world, and we're in a physical body that is, Pastor Mark just spoke of our outer man perishing. The things which are seen are only temporal. We're passing through here. But Jesus promised us a new body. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, his promise to us is that I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus is preparing a place. And, you know, when things happen to us physically and he brings us through it, and we could have died, and but then somehow we made it through. And because that place is not fully prepared, so once that place is prepared, he will come and receive us to occupy that place. So I want to give God thanks for his mercies that are new every morning, and his great faithfulness towards us, to every generation. To this generation, God is being faithful, and his mercies are new. So I want to thank him, and thank him for this congregation. Because when I was ill and fell ill, and at a point in the hospital, I didn't know I was that ill. I forgot everything, I guess, that I was going through, because I don't remember the time when I was struggling to that degree where they had to put me on a ventilator. I don't remember that either. God blocked it out or whatever they did to me. But I remembered it the time before, after my heart attack, when I woke up and I was suffocating. And I remember crying to the Lord, Jesus. And a nurse whispered in my ear and says, I know you're a believer, because I hear you crying out to Jesus. Just trust him. And they put me back on the ventilator, and 6 or 7 days later, I woke up and I was here. I mean, I was back in the land of the physical living, because, you know, the land of the living forever is where Jesus is preparing a place for us. So I just want to thank him that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank him for the prayers of the saints that he hears. He tells us to pray one for another. And I knew you guys prayed for me. And I thank him for that, because when I wasn't even aware to pray for myself, saints were praying for me. And he heard your cry, and he brought me into a large place. Here I stand today to give him glory. I just want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 107. And this is what I pray I'm doing right now. Is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So I want to say so today. I'm a redeemed of the Lord, and I say the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. I'm just looking at Miss Barbara over here. And when I woke up out of in ICU, and I didn't recognize, my husband came in the door. I didn't, like, who is that? I didn't Pastor Mark showed up, but I didn't even my son, I didn't recognize at first. Who are these people? I had just lost whatever I lost, but God brought it back gradually. But my son told me, well, my son, he is, I'll just say this little thing about him. He's a funny guy, but Craig told me anyway, the story, when he came in after I was awakened in ICU, he said, he came in and I didn't recognize him. So he greeted me, and Craig is telling me that. And I didn't recognize him. Who are you? And then he said, Madre. And this goes back to when he was in school and he started learning Spanish. So he would come home and practice on me. So he started calling me Madre. So, hi, Madre. And even now when he calls me on the phone, that's how he greets me. So when he said that, I was told, I said, hi, son. But anyway, it's just so good. But he told me about this sweet lady that he met, Miss Barbara. He said she was sitting outside. I guess when you couldn't come in the room, right? She would like be keeping watch outside ICU and with her dog. She had her little Molly with her. And eventually she was able to come in and I saw her. But he told me about this sweet lady that he met outside. And I just, that's just beautiful, you know, to think that God, it is God's faithfulness. And in everyone, not everyone could be there. But the presence of God was there. One of the doctors who I had before, almost eight years ago, he worked on me in ICU when I was dying back then. He was the same doctor. And Craig said, he kept saying, Mama, I'm going to take care of you. I'm taking care of you, Mama. And somehow, then I woke up and I saw Carol and Mike were there. And Craig told me they had come before. Well, I didn't know they were there. But just, you know, and all the prayers of the saint. Miss Pat came on Saturday, the day I came out of ICU, and she was with me all day, sitting in the room with me. And just the Lord hugging me and saying, you know, I love you, and you're part of the family of God. And, you know, Miss Sandy and I, she was in another room and in another floor, and we would text back and forth, and she would tell me about what's going on with her, and she wanted to come to see me. And I was just so thankful that she didn't, because, you know, I had RSV, and she's sick and facing surgery herself. So anyway, it's just, I just give God thanks that he is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Whether in this life or the life to come, it's going to be his mercy anyway, all throughout eternity. When we were coming to church this morning, we were listening to Pastor David Jeremiah on the radio. And you know what he was talking about? And he gave the history of John Newton and how he wrote the Amazing Grace story and his life that he relished before he came to Christ. He relished in being wicked. He just was a wicked man and he just enjoyed his wickedness. But God got a hold of him. And we're singing that song today. And it will never get old. Even secular people will sing that song. Amazing Grace. And then we come in here and what was the theme of the worship time, the singing worship? Amazing Grace, the amazing grace of God that has come to us in this generation, that we should never get tired of singing about or understanding and giving God thanks. So I just want to thank him today as one of his redeemed. Just a couple more verses. I know I'm up here long, but in the same psalm, it says, he sent his word, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful works towards us. Remember when Jesus said if the children didn't cry out, even the rocks would? Yeah. Well, we want to thank him and cry out to him and thank him and praise him because he has redeemed us and he's put his spirit in us, and truly we can give thanks to the Lord. Praise God. Love you guys. Thanks for all your prayers.
Good morning. Last week I had asked prayer for my sister Dina, and I know a couple of the sisters here already know this, but I wanted to let the congregation know, and some of you may not have been here, but she had texted me on the way to church telling me she hated her life, that she felt like she was not valuable at all and just a burden. Well, we prayed. Y'all prayed with me, and then by a little after 2, she texted me and said God had helped her so much and that her day was better already. So praise God. Her name is Dina.
Dina.
Yeah, and she's right now by herself. She lives with her sister and brother-in-law, and she's taking care of their 2 dogs. I don't think she's been by herself very much since she was attacked by the serial killer, you know, years ago. And she's kind of afraid. I've had the opportunity to keep texting her back and forth, so that's a huge blessing. Just pray, you know, that God will keep that door open and that she will hear, be able to receive his amazing grace and his unfailing love. Also, with the prayer requests, my sister Kelly, I had an opportunity to go to the doctor with her on Monday, and she was pre-opping for her hip surgery. Now, y'all remember when she was coming, she had this bad left hip. Still hasn't been able to have the surgery. They did an EKG, and EKG showed there's something wrong with her heart. So now she's got to go to a cardiologist. So this thing keeps getting delayed. Please, Kelly. Yeah, please keep praying for her. And I just want to say one other thing. Tom, you and I was thinking of Eddie, you know, and I know there's Doreen, Pat, Jean. I mean, there's so many. When I see people who are going through these tremendous struggles, how your faithfulness is just an encouragement to me, you know. And I know Doreen was saying it. We know who is truly faithful. It's God. He is so faithful. But I tell you, many times when we go through difficulties, we can turn away from him. And many people do. So thank you. You know, I don't know if you understand, and Janet too, I hope she's listening or will hear, you know, her faithfulness after 30 years going through such a difficulty, it encourages the congregation, the people of God, when we see this, because it's hard when we go through tough times. It really is. And I don't know if y'all have heard, I know y'all following some with Israel and what happened there, and if y'all had heard about 70 Christians who were killed in South Africa, and then just yesterday and the day before, there's a massacre happening over in Syria of Christians and another community of religion. They're a religion, not Christianity, but I know there's like over 1,000, maybe up to 4,000 people who have been just slaughtered. They're just killing them. Just continue to pray. I mean, there's so many brothers and sisters throughout the world that go through these things that we haven't quite faced yet, that we do go through, you know, difficulties, but we know God is faithful. But it just breaks my heart, and just like it's so unfamiliar for us, these things. So, but again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. I really appreciate it. And thank you, God, most of all, for your faithfulness. You are a good God. We love you. Thank you.
As we close here, this portion of our worship, which this is indeed worship, the whole service is worshiping God. I just want you to think about how we can, as Kathy reiterated, Doreen, Tom, is how we can be a light. You know, as Kathy was talking about all those persecutions, you know, there's subtle persecutions against us that we've never had here in the United States, and we take it as if we're getting murdered or thrown in jail or something, but it's still the same. We have the ability to be such a light in this generation, in our community, and I want to encourage you. God has not forsaken us. God has us here for a reason, and it's up to us as individuals. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Not what I want to do for you, Lord, but what is it that you want me to do? And let us share it with one another so that we can pray for one another in those areas that God is calling us to. With that, let us close this session in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Father, this morning, humbly, Lord, knowing that you are God and we are not, and that we cannot live on our own, Father, without you. Lord, the song by Avalon says, I can't live a day without you, Lord. And Lord, I can't live a day without you, and I'm certain it's the same in many hearts here, Lord, because I just look at how the world is, Lord, and all the struggles and the mayhem that's going on, and Father, and the people that love to do wickedness, Lord, and how they could live with themselves, Father. I know, Lord, that you've brought us all out of the miry clay, and you've set us up on the rock, and now we know, Lord. So now, Father, we have a new song to sing, Father, a song, praises to our King. And Lord, we want to praise you this morning. We want to glorify your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised, because that's what we'll do for the rest of our days, Lord, is praise you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you and praise you that you give us an opportunity to be able to praise you freely, Father, without persecution. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
You can push that down.
A little bit, but I like it high, but I like that lower. I'm very particular.
That's good.
Will you pray with me, please? We love you, Lord. We thank you for being with us today. We thank you for the message that you've given me to give today, and we ask you to open the ears of those who will hear, open the hearts of those, and have them planted in their hearts, and during the coming week, act on it. We ask you today to bless all those who are sick, bless their families as they surround them, and if it's time for you to call them home, give the families comfort and strength. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Today's communion meditation is titled, The Seasons of Our Lives. Since we're getting ready to start a new season in the year of our Lord, 2025. Of course, you know, we have the spring and the summer and the autumn and the winter, which four seasons make up our calendar year. We are so fortunate here in Virginia to enjoy all four seasons. Some countries have mostly winter months, like Alaska or the Antarctica. Or only summer months, like parts of Hawaii, for one, and typically parts of Florida. I wanted to see what the scriptures say about the seasons. For instance, Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Psalms 104, verse 19 says, he made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. And this one, which is probably one we hear the most often, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. I actually didn't know it was that long before I looked it up this time, but it's a time for everything. So as I was thinking of my devotion today, I started thinking about all of the ways the seasons of our lives can be compared to the seasons of the year. We can start with the season we call spring. Just think for a moment. As spring starts, everything sort of looks dead. The trees are barren, the grass is probably quite brown, and everything is sort of a drab color. But what is happening in that dark, secret place where the seeds are being stored? Stuff is happening. Just like the seed that will become a tiny baby, stored in that secret, quiet, dark place until God's timing starts the process of renewal. The flowers and grass and baby trees start the process of breaking through the earth to fill the earth with color and growth and even the food we eat. And each of us starts our earthly journey when we come forth from the mother's womb. The springtime of our life is filled with happiness as the family welcomes that new baby. So much happens during this special time of our life. Springtime is my favorite time. Then we come to summer. Usually fun-filled, usually carefree, usually picnics and beaches and family vacations. Ah, the summertime. The summer is usually filled with good health, not too many financial burdens, and lots of friends we have made during our time here on earth. Maybe summer is my favorite time. But wait, how about that beauty of autumn? How about those colors? How about picking apples and going on hay rides and long walks in the woods? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Maybe autumn is my favorite time. We may be ready to go into this last season, but just for a little while, we enjoy the beauty and the comfort of a peaceful time where the children may be gone from the home, work is not too hard, or maybe we're getting ready to retire, and life is good. For many, this is their favorite time. Then winter. Oh, winter. We slow down. Where we used to party till the cows come home, now we're getting ready to hit the covers as soon as we finish watching Wheel of Fortune. And then we prepare to go to our final home. As we read in 2 Peter 3:8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So remember, friends, no matter which season of your life you are in now, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Thank God every day for your blessings and stop and smell the roses. Find something every day to be thankful for. find someone to help along the way. And if possible, give somebody a hug. May God bless each one of you as we now prepare to take communion. If the ushers will come forward and pass out the elements and hold them, and we'll take them together.
Short and sweet.
Thank you. Each Sunday here at Chancellor Christian Church, we take the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of what Jesus did for each of us. Because he loved us and was ready to take all the sins of the world upon himself so we could have everlasting life with our Father and all those who love the Lord and accept Jesus as their Savior and have gone on to their heavenly home. The Bible records this in several places, but here is one record from Matthew chapter 26. Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. During the meal, he said that one of them would betray him. The disciples were very upset and began to ask him, one after the other, "Surely, Lord, you don't mean me. Master, you know I would never betray you. Is it I, Lord? Tell us, Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "The one who dips his bread in the dish with me will betray me." Judas asked if Jesus meant him, to which Jesus replied, "So you say." While they were eating, Jesus took the piece of bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat it," he said. "This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my blood, which seals God's covenant. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Then they sang a song and went out to the Mount of Olives. A very important fact that I wanted to point out is this. Jesus's death is to be the final sacrifice which will allow all people to receive God's forgiveness. Now, anyone who has faith in Jesus and believes that he died for forgiveness of sins can be a member of God's covenant community. This privilege is no longer only for the Jews. God bless each one of you, and have a good week.
Thank you, Pat, for that good message. One of the reasons that we celebrate communion each Sunday is because it is the central reason why we're here. And Jesus didn't actually say how often to do it, did he? He just said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And, of course, we want to keep him at the center of our life. I just praise God for the way that he provides for us. We have people actually all over the country that help support us, which is good because we're a very small group, but God provides. And so I just wanted to say today we have almost $600 in this offering, and we haven't even taken it up yet. That's what came in by mail. So I just praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And just continue to seek you so that we follow your will in our lives and accomplish your purpose here on this earth for us to your glory. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. While we are receiving the offering, if you didn't get a bulletin, make sure you get one, because I'm not going to say anything about what's in the bulletin. It's there for you to read later. Because I want to share a couple other things with you. Some of you know that I've been down to the Creation Museum, which Ken Ham led to get established. Actually, I've been there twice. I would like to go see the Ark, because that's fantastic. I've seen pictures of it. But anyway, I would encourage you, in any case, is to subscribe to the Answers Insider, which he's a great proponent of God's creation. I don't know if you realize it or not, but one of the reasons why we have Christians who believe in evolution is because they think God took millions of years to create, and they just think that Genesis 1 through 11 is kind of a fable. Absolutely wrong. God gave us the exact thing that he did there. And so I encourage you to subscribe to that. Also, there's another magazine that I subscribe to called Acts and Facts. And this is a ministry. Let's see, I got to get the name of it here. Institute for Creation Research. And they are quite a fantastic ministry as well. And so I just praise God for them, and that this is a very good magazine. Last thing I want to say here before we open it up, if we have any other announcements and then go to my preaching, is we support Imagine Life, which used to be called Choices Women's Center, but I like the new name because we do stand for life. And they are having their conference this coming Friday night. If you're interested, you could probably call them. But anyway, I got the publication from them showing what they have done with the gifts and finances that have been given to them. And they received $790,000 last year. And 41% of that went to their ministry. And 40% went to programs that they provide, and then they gave 19% for their ministry of reaching out and having people support them. So anyway, they're very accountable. What they do is they had 1,239 appointments, 266 people changed their minds, which means that when they went in there, they were thinking about an abortion. And then they had 434 spiritual engagements and presented the gospel to 117 people. So what a great thing to have going on in our community. And, of course, I have been involved with them from the time they started. And so I'm really very supportive of what they're doing, because I know that God created life, and our life is sacred because he has declared it to be that way. And so we just want to stand for it. It's not that we're condemning people. I have some relatives who had an abortion. Well, you know what God does in that case? Well, the baby's already in heaven, and God forgives them when they seek his forgiveness. And by the way, abortion is not the worst sin. We've all sinned, and in God's eyes, every sin we commit is the worst. I mean, some have greater consequences. Obviously, if you kill somebody, that has more consequences in this life. But as far as anything that we do that is against God, God hates that. And the only reason why we can have good standing with God is because of what Jesus did for us. So we praise God for that. Is there anything else I need to have anyone mention by way of announcements? All right. Well, let's go right on to our preaching then. I'm excited about this message, and it's really been very interesting to me as I've been going through Nehemiah. And like I have to say, it's not as though I have been through this for the first time, obviously. No, I meant to say, too, we have a number of people that are not here today because they're traveling, so we just pray for them as well to have safety, and we miss them. But in our story here in Nehemiah, we come to chapter 4, and Israel is continuing to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Is there anyone upstairs who got my... Oh, there you go. Thank you. It would be a little problematic for me if I didn't have my presentation up there, so I'm glad we got it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you up there. Anyway, they're continuing to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem that had been destroyed because of what had happened to them by God's judgment because of their sin, or the people's sin before, 70 years earlier, when God had them carried off into captivity and Babylon completely destroyed the city. And so now they're back rebuilding it because God has brought them back. And so as they're rebuilding, today we come to this part of the story where the enemies that are around them are angry and they're planning ways to try to stop them. So that is what we're going to read here in chapter 4. And that's the title of my message, The Enemies Opposing Them and Rebuilding of the Wall. And so let's begin with verse 1. Guess I need to turn this on, then it'll work better. All right. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they are doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that?" Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked on the top of it." Then I prayed. And it's interesting because this goes along with what you shared, Craig. "Hear us, our God. We are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders." End of his prayer. At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Then the people of Judah began to complain. "The workers are getting tired and there's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves." Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, "Before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work." The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, "They will come from all directions and attack us." So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember Yahweh, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, "The work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding. Then our God will fight for us." We worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. Nehemiah 4:1-23. I just have to say that last part there would really be troubling to some people. But I grew up on a farm. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I don't know how long I wore my clothes. I know we took a bath once a week, whether we needed it or not. And that from a wash pan. We didn't have running water. So I never got in the shower. It didn't bother me. That's the way I grew up. But those are tough times. And we are very different today because we have so much. You know, we're probably not as thankful as we ought to be for what we have, because we have so much. When you read a story like this, it's kind of incredible what God is doing and how he is working. And I just want to say this, because I don't know if I'm going to say it later, so I just want to get it out there. You know, it's amazing when things like this are happening. God is working in this, and sometimes we get frustrated and say, why does it have to be so hard? Well, number one, life is this way because man sinned, and we still continue to sin. But God is gracious and merciful, and that's what we need to always keep in mind, that he will be there if we seek him, and he will get us through. And it's like Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And when we have that perspective, then we should not become discouraged. So in this story, what an enterprise it is, and what diligence these people have in accomplishing this task. And they're convinced that God is guiding them and protecting them in this project. And he is. And the same is true for us today. And so I want to see what kind of lessons we can learn from this story, because it's written as God's eternal word to teach us how we ought to live our life in our own circumstances, which, by the way, are probably never quite as severe as this was for them. So here's my first point: knowing and understanding God's plan for our lives. You know, what's interesting to me is there are two aspects to our salvation. One is accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Two, then learning how to live the life he has called us to live here on earth. And that is not as easy as it might seem. Too often, people, when they get saved, they think, okay, I got my ticket stamped, so I'm good to go. I'll just go do what I want to do now. It doesn't work that way. That's not how we come to know what God wants us to do. And, you know, we have a debate over eternal security and all those things, but folks, I'm not going to wait to find out. I'm going to stay with Jesus. And that's the key. Besides that, I don't want to live my life that way, because I know how destructive that can be. And so we want to keep our focus on things and know that we have this wonderful life that Jesus has given us, even though it may be filled with trouble here. So if we are saved by Jesus, then we seek to know what God's plan is for us while we live in this sinful world. And this was precisely what Paul was explaining when he wrote his letter to the Philippians. I like this scripture. He says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Although he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. That is a fantastic scripture. What an incredible thing. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at every name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I like that translation, because you know most translations say work out your salvation with fear and trembling, which is probably the literal translation. But we're not working to be saved, we're working since we're saved. And that's the key, because we can't work to be saved. God's already has done that and has got to do that. So he goes on. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So hold firmly to the word of life. That's the first 16 verses of Philippians chapter 2. And what a great scripture, because as we work out this life with the power of Jesus in us by the Holy Spirit in this evil world, we can grow in our understanding of how God wants us to live this life. Paul went on in his writing to the Philippians to say this later. He said this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to Euodia, I'll get it right, and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement." That's interesting, you know, here are these people got a problem and he's helping them work it out. He goes on, "And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in the cause of the gospel. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is always near. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." That's Philippians 4, 1 through 9. And what a wonderful scripture. And while we probably are familiar with these scriptures, the challenge for us is really to do what it's telling us to do. That's the real challenge. I mean, it's not always easy to be thankful or considerate of other people, especially when they may be doing some things we don't like. This world is filled with all kinds of trouble and problems. And that's why we need to constantly be seeking the Holy Spirit so we can stay on the path that God wants us to be on. Then our focus will be on what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, and whatever else is excellent. If we do these things diligently, then we will be persevering to accomplish God's mission for us. Because God has a mission for us. We need to realize that. He has called us to be a light in this world. You see, the scriptures make it clear that we have been given individual gifts from the Spirit in order to be able to carry out God's plan that He has given us. This scripture is probably one of the more misunderstood, but it is really good when we understand it properly. Paul said, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. That last verse is very pertinent, folks, because I know, and you probably maybe have experienced this too if you've been around Christians, they will tell you you should search one particular gift, and they may be focused on what they think is the best gift, but that's not the way it works. The Spirit is the one who decides what gift we get. What we need to do is discover the gift that He's given us and then learn how to use it. And then together we build each other up, because that's how God works. He wants us to be together, working with each other to help build each other up in the faith so we can accomplish His mission. You know, one of the things that I experience from some is their obsession with politics. The reality is we live in a political world and we need to know how to deal with it. But folks, that is not our mission. And while we may like one politician better than another and one politician might be better than another, it doesn't matter as far as our calling is concerned, because we're here to carry out the purpose God has given us. And I may have my own opinions about those things, but folks, that's not priority to me. The priority is Jesus Christ and how I'm going to carry out His mission in my life together with you, because that's what He is saying here. Paul went on to use some examples when he was talking about this later in this chapter. He said, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has given the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all have the power to do miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts." 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. Now it might seem like, well, that's a contradiction of what he said earlier. No, what he is saying is let us utilize the gifts in our fellowship that helps the most to build others up. And we should not be envious of somebody who it may seem like they've got a better gift than we do. No, that's not the way it works. And the fact of the matter is, this is not an exhaustive list. These are just examples that Paul is utilizing, because the Spirit is going to work in us individually, and He's going to do it in different ways. You know, I know one of the problems we have in this country, and I suppose that it's become that way somewhat due to the culture, but also maybe because people wanted to hear the Word of God. But the person standing up here, and by the way, I'm not the only one that stands up here, because I want others to be able to speak too and share. And that's why we opened it up for you to come up and look what Doreen did this morning. She came up here. I didn't ask her to do anything or say she could or couldn't. We just open it up so people can come up to share. And by the way, we've been doing this for a lot of years, and if you've been around here a while, you know sometimes people say things that just aren't right. But we can correct it later. The Lord will. So what? I mean, I tell people, if you want to know whether there were problems in the church, then just read the first and second books of Corinthians and read the book of Galatians. I mean, those are two prime books that Paul wrote. Did they have some problems? You bet. Yeah, I mean, in Corinthians, some of them didn't even believe in the resurrection. Well, that's pretty serious. And yet, Paul still addressed them as brothers and sisters, trying to get them on the right path. And so that's what we need to do. And you know what enables us to have that perspective? Is what Paul says next in this letter to the Corinthians, which we're all familiar with this passage, I know, but here it is. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but don't have other love, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had a gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures, and always perseveres. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. These three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, when Paul gave this passage, transitioning from the chapter I just read, he said to them, "I am now going to show you the best way to use your gifts." That's my kind of paraphrase of what he said. This is the best way, folks. And when we learn that, then we will stay focused, as we should, on the ministry that God has given us, and we will be accomplishing the mission that he wants us to fulfill. And how does he make it possible? By giving us the indwelling presence of his Spirit. You see, he will give us the guidance that we need to accomplish his mission. And we will be empowered to persevere no matter what comes. And you know, we all need help in this evil world, because the evil wants to destroy us. That's what the devil is about. I mean, when Peter said the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that's pretty serious. And it isn't just him, by the way. He has probably millions of angels who decided to follow him when he chose to rebel against God. So, here's the thing we need to keep in mind. While our eternal destiny is guaranteed, we're here now to carry out the mission that God has given us. And if we do that, then this wonderful promise will be true for us. John said, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds will follow them.'" Revelation 14:13. And by the way, that's the only thing you take from this life. You leave your body behind. Your spirit goes to be with Jesus, and he gives us a new body. But the only thing that lasts are what we did for Jesus. And that's what it means to lay up treasures. And here's the thing. It will be more than worth it. You've also heard that here this morning already. It's amazing how the Spirit works, isn't it? He confirms the truth that we need to hear. You know, the Apostle Paul made this great point when he was writing his second letter to the Corinthians. He said that all that happens to us in this life is not worth comparing to what we're going to get when we get to the next life. Let me just share that portion of the Scripture. Paul said, it is written in the Scriptures, I believe, so I spoke. Our faith is like this too. We believe and so we speak. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and we know that God will raise us with Jesus. God will bring us together with you, and we will stand before Him. All these things are for you. And so the grace of God that is being given to more and more people will bring increasing thanks to God for His glory. So we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is being made new every day. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than all the troubles. We set our eyes on what we see, not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. That's probably a different rendering of that passage in 2 Corinthians 4:13 through 18, but I think it gives the real essence of what he is saying. I mean, that's the thing. While we're wasting away, our bodies are dying, God is utilizing us to lay up treasures in heaven for his eternal purposes as well as ours. So we need to keep our focus on these eternal things and not allow the temporary things of this life to discourage us or knock us down. You know, Jesus gave this message of encouragement about what will happen at the end. He said, the Son of Man will come again in his great glory with all his angels. He will be king and sit on his great throne. All the nations of the world will be gathered before him, and he will separate them into two groups as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The Son of Man will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, come, my Father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. And isn't that interesting? See, this isn't something that God just thought up later. It was his plan before he even started. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes and you gave me something to wear. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the good people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our home? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When do we see you sick or in prison or care for you? Then the king will answer, I tell you the truth, anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me. Now, I just have to say for a moment before I go on, he didn't say one thing about preaching a good sermon. He didn't say one thing about being a good teacher. Now, those things are important, but that's not the primary thing. We demonstrate our ministry by how we are helping other people. And by that, we can then point them to Jesus so that whatever else we do, it will have a positive, beneficial effect. So he goes on, though. He will say to those on his left, you will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever that was prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was alone and away from home and you did not invite me into your house. I was without clothes and you gave me nothing to wear. I was sick and in prison and you did not care for me. Then these people answer, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or alone and away from home or without clothes or sick and in prison? When do we see you see these things and not help you? Then the king will answer, I tell you the truth. Anything you refuse to do for even the least of my people here, you refuse to do for me. These people will go off to be punished forever, but the righteous people will go to live forever. Matthew 25:31-46. You know, it's interesting how people will say Jesus didn't say things about certain things. You know, they just want to focus on him being this wonderful guy and always saying positive things. Well, this is not so positive for people who are not listening to him, folks. Pretty serious and drastic. And that's why we need to hear all that Jesus said. So, to help us keep our perspective and be able to press on in the circumstances of this life, we have to stay focused on our mission. And here's what Jesus said about our mission. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will save it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Matthew 16:24-27. So the key for us is to stay focused on Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then stay focused on the mission that he is giving us, because no matter what we're going through here, it'll all be more than worth it. That is why we must keep our focus on eternal things and not the temporary things of this world. You see, Jesus is calling us to do things that count for eternity. And that's why we need to keep that perspective. You know, there's a great psalm that David wrote about our struggle here, and I wanted to share that with you. It's back in Psalm 39. "I said to myself, I'll watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the more hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Yahweh reminded me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? But my only hope is in you, Lord." Psalm 39:1-7. What a perspective David had, and it's amazing the Psalms that he wrote without even knowing what Jesus was going to come and do, and how we have been so blessed now by having the Holy Spirit and scriptures and one another. So, while certainly we have it very good in our nation, it's obvious, though, that there is some evil work going on. Pretty seriously, actually. When you see this happening in our culture with the increasing crime and the evil that is happening and the things that are being perpetrated even against children, it is obvious that we have to be prepared to keep pressing on to do what is right. You know, Jesus spoke about this when he gave this message to his disciples. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You know, this is man's perspective. Who's the greatest, Lord? Am I the greatest? Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's pretty serious, isn't it? "What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to do sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into the eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father." Matthew 18, 1 through 10. You know, when I read this scripture and I'd already decided to put this in my sermon, wasn't affected by what I saw later, but I subscribed to a guy by the name of Eric Metaxas, and he has got a wonderful ministry and really stands for what's right. He had this guy, his name is Jeff Younger, on there talking about what he had been going through. He had been married to a doctor who worked with children, and she decided, although she wanted to say her son decided, she decided when he was 2 years old that he really wanted to be a girl. And so she was going to transition him. Well, you know, these things are going on in our culture, folks, and it is so serious because the consequences are permanent. You can't reverse them, especially if they cut off body parts, as they're doing with little children. Well, anyway, he went to court. He's in Texas. And I have to go back and listen to it again. I can't remember if they actually won there or not. I think they did because his wife moved to California so she could continue her battle because California is very different. But the thing that was so astounding is what he said next. When he was in court, he said he could not get one pastor to come to give testimony for him. You know why they said that? Oh, we can't get involved in politics. Folks, this is more than politics. This isn't a political issue, although it is being turned into that for sure. But the reality is there were 74 other pastors for that woman who wanted to transgender her son or transfer him to become a girl. Unbelievable, folks. And I know this is not pleasant for anyone to hear, but folks, this is what Jesus is talking about. This is what he means when he says, if you cause one of these little ones to sin, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around that your neck and drown in the sea. That's pretty serious, isn't it? It's not just something you pass over. So I just want to say that while we live in this world, there are consequences, but there are rewards. Now, I'm not going to get off on a tangent, but that's one of the reasons why I stand with this ministry called Imagine Life, because they are out there promoting the gospel and helping to get people on the right track. But we're not going to condemn anyone who has done that. I've got relatives who've done that, but they've come back to the Lord, and I'm not going to hold anything against them. No, I praise God that they got their life back on track. And that's what we're about, folks. We're about redemption, not condemnation. Anyway, that may be a weird way for me to end my sermon, but I'm not quite finished. You know, as the people of Israel would persevere in rebuilding their wall, being attacked, or at least being threatened, they had every reason to keep persevering because what they were doing was what God wanted them to do. And that's why we persevere. That's why we press on. And when we remember that when we're doing things that count for eternity, it is more worth than anything that happens here. You know, as I mentioned earlier, David wrote some great psalms. This was my favorite psalm. I don't have a very good memory when it comes to memorizing scripture. I've told this before. I was challenged one time to memorize scripture, so I thought, well, I'll start with the book of James, and I started memorizing that one. And I got the first chapter down, and I went to the second. Then I started forgetting the first chapter, and I said, this is not my gift. I just need to know how to find a scripture and then how to apply it. But anyway, I did memorize Psalm 23, 1 through 6. It's gone now, but when I got a screen like this, I can read it. Listen to this. Yahweh is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. By the way, if you haven't heard me explain this, Yahweh is the name of God. So anytime you're in a translation where they decided to capitalize capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's God's name. So I just put God's name in because that's what they should have done in the first place. Anyway, moving on. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. That's Psalm 23. What a great psalm. And what a great perspective. And even though David would sin and stumble in some of the most grievous way, yet because of his heart for God, God forgave him and restored him, and he continued with the ministry that God had given him. And that's what he will do for us too. So just remember this, no matter what you've done, just get your focus back on Jesus. And by the way, I emphasize this, focus on Jesus, forget what has happened. You don't need to focus on that. It doesn't help. God doesn't need you to mourn and weep over that. He needs you to get focused on Jesus. When you do, then you will overcome whatever it was that you shouldn't have been doing, and you will be doing what you should be doing. That's the way it works. And I discovered that because if we're sitting around moaning about what we might have done that we shouldn't have done, all we're doing is reinforcing it. Isn't helping. Nope, got to get your focus on Jesus. Well, I'm going to leave it there and hope that that helps you in your ministry. Oh, I guess. Craig, you can come and dismiss us with prayer here. Yeah, I just thought I would say that, and I'll give you the mic here.
That's fine. I was coming.
All right, good. I knew you were. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get that out of the way later.
Oh. Well, you know, what's really amazing is a theme this morning about calling on the Lord. I mean,
you have to hold that mic here. Huh?
Yeah, I know. It's just that when I was coming up here, I lost the benediction that the Lord wanted me to read to the congregation. So I'm just trying to get back to it. But anyway, we heard Asa's prayer when his time of trouble, and we heard Nehemiah's prayer during his time of trouble. And I just want to remind us that God is with us, and he wants to build us up and encourage us. And we talked about the light this morning, being a light all throughout the morning. Do you think that's what God wants us to be? He's encouraging us this morning. God is. The Holy Spirit is encouraging us this morning. Call on him while he may be found. Call on him while he's near, because he will direct our paths and make everything straight. Well, anyway, I just want to remind you about tonight, prayer tonight at 4:30. I also want to encourage you about Wednesday night. We're in Zechariah still. We're in James on Sunday school class Sunday mornings. We had a good class this morning. Some people haven't been here in a while came, and we praise God for them, Doreen and Tom. And we thank God for the both of them. And we're going to grow. We just have to be patient. You know, God knows that we desire for men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God knows that we desire to grow more in him, that we have not arrived. God desires for us to do that, and he knows our heart. And also a reminder of Saturdays. It's a full day Saturday with different ministries, and different people go to them. The Strongholds Ministry, led by Kathy and Jeannie. And then Saturday night, we're in 1 Samuel. And also we have a meal at 5:30. So if you want to just come for a meal to have fellowship, you know, come. We'd be glad to have you. But if you want to stay for an hour long in 1 Samuel, we invite you also. And also invite somebody. If you know somebody, even if you don't come to a certain thing, you know about a Strongholds class, but you don't go to Strongholds class, say, hey, there's a Strongholds class on Saturday. You know, if you know somebody that wants fellowship, and you say, hey, Saturday nights they have a meal. You know, that just because you don't go there don't mean you don't invite, you know, them to come. There's all kinds of things. Wednesday nights, invite somebody. Say, hey, I know a place you can go. So with that, Hebrews, he has a benediction. And first of all, in Psalm 126, he says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. So that's God's promise to us. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, The Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let me just say, that picture you saw up there came from Windows, so it wasn't something that we posted. I know you saw it. It is really a demonic picture. Anyway, that's what happened. Let me get the one back up. So please, you know.
Good seeing all you, especially you.